Father, I thank you, Lord. As always, I declare that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. I declare that that light shall shine in our hearts today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare the Holy Spirit will be here to give us understanding, give us grace, and give us strength even at this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A quick recap from yesterday. The lesson that we are on now is overcoming adversity. And yesterday we talked about what adversity is and what it means to overcome. And we spent quite a bit of time on why adversity may come and how we may sometimes be able to prevent it. So that lesson was covered in detail yesterday. If you missed it and you want to know what was shared, please visit the replay room under this house and you get it there. Praise God. Today, I want to go to, this will be part two of that lesson. And I will be covering today enduring adversity and also overcoming adversity. So, definition of adversity I will give from yesterday. I mean, various hardships, calamities, tragedies, distress, sorrow, sickness, disappointments, failure, etc. I mean, all the negative things that can happen to us, create even, you know, stress and heaviness and setbacks. And overcoming means getting the better of that situation, coming out on top of it. Praise God. So if we're in a duel, a contest, you overcome, that means you're the winner. And we talked about why adversity may come and that we should not always look at adversity when we see it in the life of someone else as though it was because they did something wrong was the reason it came. We covered that yesterday. We covered how we may be able to prevent adversity, especially through being more prayerful. Sometimes God will allow us to be able to avert certain adversities, you know, when we are more prayerful. So that was yesterday. Today, I want to talk about enduring adversity. And then I will also talk about overcoming it, if it does, when it does come. So we may be able to prevent it, as we talked about yesterday, but sometimes we may not. And what do? If we find ourselves in the midst of adversity. Remember, yesterday we ended up by saying that men ought always to pray. Luke 21 and 36, Jesus even said, you know, that we should watch and pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape. Now that means that it is actually possible through being watchful. Be vigilant, we're told. Being watchful and praying. It is possible to escape certain things. And that's what Jesus said in Luke 21, 36. We know that that particular statement of the Christ in that very place, in Luke 21, 36, is actually more profound than just everyday things. It's talking about all the things that will happen at the end of the world, at the end of the age. And the great tribulation and many other things that we can actually even escape those things. And the reason that we can escape is we are prayerful, we are watchful, and we are praying that we may be counted worthy to escape. But on a smaller scope, we see that the same thing applies. If we are praying, and we are watchful, you know, God may even, you know, help us to avert certain things or to escape certain things. But unfortunately, sometimes it happens, you know, and we talked yesterday also about, you know, these things will happen. You know, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. There is not a single person that will go through life without an countering adversities. And not even just one, sometimes several. Many, Psalm 34 and verse 19, we're told, are the afflictions of the righteous. You know, why many? Why not few? Well, that's what the Bible says. But the Lord will deliver him out of them all. So there will be times that we will indeed encounter these things. Scripture says in Isaiah 43 and verse 2, when thou passest through, so that's a when, that's not an if. So we see right away from these scriptures that we will have these situations. Nobody can entirely escape them throughout their lives. You are going to face these adversities. They are going to come. Our prayer is that the major adversities and major calamities and stuff like that, we can avoid. You know, but there's going to be different things that we face from time to time. Now, Paul was encouraging, and let me just finish reading that Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 verse 2 say, when you pass through the fire, you know, it will not overwhelm you, it will not kindle on you. When you pass through the river, you will not be drowned, essentially, but you will pass through. And again, I love the concept of passing through. Passing through means you are coming out on the other side. You know, just as surely as this scripture indicates that you will experience situations that looks like you are passing through deep waters, he said, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk it through the fire, it shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Just as surely as the when in this sentence indicates that it will happen, well, the through also indicates that you will make it. You will pass through. That means you come out on the other side. Now, if this scripture has said, when you enter into the waters and into the rivers and into the fire, well, that's a different story. Well, he didn't say that. Into, you may not come out, but through, you're guaranteed to come out. That's why the psalmist also used those, you know, use that same terminology when he was talking in Psalm 23 about the shadow of death. Shadow of death means, well, you're almost even dying. You know, things are happening around you that looks like, you know, you could even give up the ghost. And it's terrible. But he said, look, though I walk through, Psalm 23 and verse 4, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not walking into. If you walk into, it may be a dead end. It may never come out. But he didn't say into. You know, had enough sense to know that Lord is able to bring him out. And he said, well, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me and he's going to bring me out. And I've often said this from time to time. Even when you casually ask people, hey, what's happening? What's going on? And I say, well, I'm going through some things right now. And they may not consider the word through that they use. I've actually, you know, brought it to people's attention that I've talked to in the past. I say, well, I'm going through some things. I say, well, by your own admission, you just said you are coming out on the other side. As you said, I'm going through some things. Praise the Lord. You know, so let's be encouraged right away that the scriptures already said you will pass through the waters, you pass through the rivers, and you pass through the fire. That means you're coming out on the other side. But here are some point blank exhortations of how to deal with adversity when it actually does come. So that's the first part of today. How to deal with it. This is what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. He said, look, thou therefore endure hardness. Remember, we're talking about enduring adversity. Endure hardships. Endure adversity. as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You have to be, you know, you have to have that endurance. You build that stamina. You build that, you know, spiritual stamina. Build that capacity. You can endure things. That's why, you know, soldiers train. You know, they put them through, you know, all kinds of things. You know, some of them you have to train on the land, train on the sea, train under the sea. They are Marines. I mean, it's the air fighters. They have to train. They jump out of planes. They do all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, and they have to endure situations that, you know, can stress you to the point that they squeeze the life out of you. And they put them through that as part of their training regiment. You know, you go through all kinds of things, you know. And so, because they have to endure, you have to learn to endure, you know, endure. So this scripture is telling Timothy to endure hardships, endure adversity as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we see that a good soldier must know how to endure these things, you know. And many scriptures in the Bible exhort us to be strong in the Lord, you know, and not to be weaklings. What does being strong in the Lord mean? It means, well, you've got capacity. You can endure things. You are rugged. I remember when I was a young man many years ago, some of my friends in the faith, we used to encourage one another, call each other rugged man. You know, because you know how to endure. You can go through stuff. You can fast for many days. You can go through stuff. You can endure things. You know, you say, hey, rugged man, and so on. You know, we were very young then in the faith, and so far I was about 19 or so back then. You know, but you need to be rugged. You can't be a weakling. You can't be, you know, something that the devil toss up and down, play ping pong with your life. No. You got to be strong in the Lord. So let's look at these scriptures that encourage us of being strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, don't be weak, you know. Opposite of strong is weak, you know. Don't be weak, be strong. Well, It's not a pride thing to be strong. You need to be strong. You got to be strong. The Lord wants you to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, and even all the way back in the book of Daniel, we see what he says about people that are strong in the Lord. You know, that's what he wants us to do. Let's read Daniel chapter 11, and we read verse 32, the second part of it. But the people that do know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. You know, throughout the scriptures, we are called to be strong. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be weak. You know, people who are weak, they can't go through anything, you know. So now, Ephesians 6:10 tells us that, and tells you all the other things that you can do to strengthen yourself. You read that from verse 10 all the way to verse 18. You see all the things you can do to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Put on the full armor of God, he said, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. You know, and to withstand all the wiles and all the, you know, plans of the enemy and all his tricks and everything that he tries to throw against you, you got to be strong and be able to withstand it. He will throw these things against you. What will be your response? You know, and you have to realize that you are not wrestling against flesh and blood. but you are wrestling against principalities, against powers. The scripture recognizes that these demonic forces have power, but Jesus' power is greater. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness. That's what brings heavy burdens. That's what brings, you know, the bands of wickedness and so on. You know, and it tells you all the armor that you should put on. But remember that you might stand against the wiles of the devil. God wants us to stand, you know, not be falling, but stand. Hallelujah. Stand. Don't be falling. You know, stand therefore, said, having your loins girded about with truth and so forth. So I tell you to stand in your post. Be upright. Don't be down on the canvas. You know, stand up and fight. Hallelujah. Now let's read a few other things, you know, that come to mind about standing. The grace to stand comes from the strength of the Lord. And it comes from trusting in the Lord. That's right. He says that some trust in chariots, some in horses. This is Psalm 20 and verse 7. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Well, those that trust in chariots and those that trust in horses, they are brought down and falling. But those of us that trust in the name of the Lord, we are arisen and stand upright. So there's an emphasis on standing. That's right. You know, you got to be anchored enough. You know, it's one thing to be knocked down and get up again, but you can also be anchored enough that when the devil cheap shot you, you know, you spring right back even before you hit the canvas. Praise the Lord. And you've seen some of these, you know, you can erect a structure that is like on a spring. You know, you erect it like that and you push the thing and it goes almost 45 degrees as if it's going to fall down and it comes back again. You know, you can have that kind of spiritual resilience. You know, the devil punch you. You know, you go almost like you are falling down, but you don't even get to the canvas. You spring right back up again. And if you do get to the canvas, you stand up also. Praise the Lord. We're going to see those scriptures in the Bible. You know, in the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 8, he said, look, when you knock me down, I will arise. This is how you deal with adversity, ladies and gentlemen. This is how you endure it. You know, you do not give in. You know, you put on strength. You know, and before the adversity comes, you prayed. You've prayed. We dealt with that yesterday. You have prayed. You are building spiritual resilience through prayer and so on and so forth. You know, and you don't quit in the presence of trouble. You knock me down, Micah says, I will get up again. You know, when I'm in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. This man will not stay down for the count. Can't do it to him, you know. And no matter, you know, how many times he falls down, he's ready to rise up again. Praise the Lord. Must rise up and rise up. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16 and verse 13, it says, you know, be strong in the Lord, stand fast, quit ye like men. You know, quit ye like men doesn't actually mean to give up. On the other hand, it means exactly the opposite. Don't be weak. You know, in your mind is what the phrase quit ye like men means. You know, quit ye like men. You know, be strong in the Lord. The power of his might. What does quit ye like men mean? You know, because people don't really understand that, you know. There is a place where, you know, in the battle, the ongoing battle between the Philistines and Israel back in the day, the Philistines used that very phrase in 1 Samuel chapter 4 verse 9 to encourage themselves to go to battle against the children of Israel. You know, when the children of Israel beat them, Well, they said, well, they beat us this time. But quit ye like men, you know, and be strong, you know. They said it. Read it in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 9. Be strong and quit yourselves like men. So that was a phrase that, you know, people used to say, look, don't be feeble in your heart. Don't give up. Don't be like that. Just be strong in the Lord. That's what that phrase really means. Oh, ye Philistines, that ye be not servants to the Hebrews, you know, as they have been to you. Quit ye yourselves like men and fight. So in case you are wondering what that statement means, that explains it to you. Quit ye like men does not mean give up at all. In fact, it means exactly the opposite. Don't be a weakling. You know, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10 says, look, if you faint in the day of adversity, then it only shows that your strength is weak. And God doesn't want us to be weak. He doesn't want our strength to be small. You know, he wants you to be strong in the Lord. Now, so if you faint, adversity comes and you faint, which means you give up, you fold in, you pack it in, then you have small strength. But we need to develop greater strength. We need to develop spiritual muscle. We need to develop spiritual resilience because we are going to face these things. I mean, we come into this room, we hear the testimonies all the time. You know, and people come on in here and they say what they are going through and so forth. One day it's good, next day it's this and that. You know, yeah, but at the end of the day, we know we always have the victory, but you are going to go through this stuff. So, when you go through this stuff, you've got to go in with the mind that, look, I am going to be a winner. That's right. I'm going to be a winner. When you're facing anything, you know, I will be a winner. I will not be defeated. This same Proverbs chapter 24 that we are in right now in verse 16 also tells you, a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he also arises again. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you knock him down, he's going to get up. He's not going to stay down for the count. But look, I don't even want you to get knocked down. Praise the Lord. Don't get knocked down. You know, when you are anchored on some special anchors, you know, they can swing this way and that, but you'll never be in a 180 flat. You can swing all the way to 45 degrees and even, you know, lower, but you bounce right back even before you hit the canvas. That's it. You know, don't let the devil put you on your back. Praise God. Don't let the devil put you on the back. We're going to tell you a few things today that will help you on that. You know, but let me challenge us with a few scriptures. You know, number one, it's Proverbs 24:10. It's a challenge. You know, look at yourself, examine, take stock. Are you the kind of person that faints when adversity comes? I mean, difficulty, trial, troubles, and so forth. Do you give up? Well, if you do, then you are classified in the category of people that have small strength. But we want to develop great strength. You know, we don't want to have small strength. There was a man in the Bible called Samson. He had tremendous strength, especially when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he could do incredible things. You know, David himself at times, he said, well, I can bend a bow of steel with my hand. My goodness, that's great strength. David had some mighty men. They could do things. They could go down, you know, and fight with a lion. One man could go against 800 people and kill them. You know, I mean, all these things and so forth. These people were strong. You know, they were not weaklings, you know, but you got to develop it. It doesn't come overnight. I'm going to show you one strategy here right now. In Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. Let's take a look at this. And I want you to read it if you have your Bible, because this is an important strategy. You know, Jeremiah chapter 12 verse 5 tells you, you know, how to win the big contests. How do you win the big contest? Well, you start by winning the little ones. You know, when you have a small thing that challenges you during the day and you give up, you get, you know, you just lose hope. You get discouraged over little things. How in the world are you going to handle greater things? You know, so this scripture is telling you, giving you the strategy of how to be a winner, even in very difficult situations. It starts by you practicing to be a winner, even in smaller things. You know, that's what this scripture is talking about. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5 says, if you have run with footmen and they have wearied you, well, how can you then contend with horses? If in the land of peace wherein you trusted, they wearied you, what are you going to do in the overswelling of Jordan when all hell breaks loose, when there are cataclysmic upheavals? You know, there's a certain time of year that Jordan overflows its banks. It comes like a rushing tsunami and just destroys everything in its path. Well, when that's not happening and everything is peaceful, you are even weary. How are you going to handle that situation? So this scripture is saying, look, before you get to run with horses, first of all, win against footmen. So, before the big challenges of life, well, win against the little ones, the little things that happen to you daily. Just win over them. Win everything. Win everything. Win everything. Because if you don't win the little ones, how are you going to win the big ones? That's what this scripture is saying. So, when you are running against footmen, all of you are on equal footing. You know, he has two legs just like you. You know, so don't let him beat you. But if he beats you, then how in the world are you going to contend with horses that has greater power and even four legs? You're not going to be able to do it. So, win the little battles. Climb every mountain. Hallelujah. You know, so everything that comes your way, win. This is how you endure. Go in with that mentality. I am a winner. You know, no matter what confronts me, I will win. Why? Because I've got the high praises of God in my mouth, and I will not be discouraged. Hallelujah. Some people say, well, that's easier said than done. Yes, but it comes with practice. Practice, practice, practice. You know, practice, like I said yesterday, don't give the devil the satisfaction to think he got you down. You know, never let the devil put you on your back on the canvas. Get up before you even hit the canvas. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, now, Paul would tell us of so many things that he and the rest of the apostles went through, and even he himself in his own life. You know, and we read the story of, you know, or at least talked about the story of Job yesterday. In the book of James chapter 5, verse 11, he said, look, you have heard of all the things that happened to Job. But what was the end of the story? Now, see, this is always the end of the story of a righteous man. Mark the righteous man and see the end of that man, the scripture says. Well, the end of the man, in the case of Job, was the goodness of the Lord prevailed for him. James chapter 5 tells you in verse 11, you know, we have heard of all the afflictions of Job, but we have also seen the end of the Lord in the matter. The end of the Lord in the matter is that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies, and he's going to come through for you. So encourage yourself with that. Well, let's read some of the hardships that Paul went through and some of the things he said. Remember, you know, we read this yesterday. It was shared in the room, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, that look, there is no trial. Temptation can be translated trial in some versions. There is no trial, no affliction, no adversity that you are going through or you will go through that God will allow to come to you that is greater than your strength. you know, but with every trial and all of that, you know, it will give you a way of escape so that you can be able to bear it, to endure it. You know, so when we look at ourselves and compare with others, and you say, well, why is my, or why are my troubles more than others? Well, perhaps God knows that you can bear it. So congratulations if you have challenges that appear to be great. You know, maybe because God knows that you have greater strength. But I guarantee you what? Number one, don't see any challenge as too great, because God has already equipped you to handle it. Let's read some of the testimonies of Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he talks about some of the things that the apostles went through. He said, for I think, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. We are made as a spectacle unto the world, even to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present time, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and buffeted, and have no dwellings, certain dwelling place, and so on and so forth. Say, you know, we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. See, you got to suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as a filth of the world and of the offscouring of all things unto this day. Apostles, apostles this day don't think of themselves like this. They think of themselves as the king of the hill. You know, Paul said, look, apostles, they are the ones that suffer a lot of things on behalf of the church. You know, and that's what he said. I made the filth. I made of the offscouring of all things. And God put all kinds of things on us to go through. You know, not to parade in ourselves as if we are head and shoulders above the people. You know, so this is his testimony about that. Read additional testimonies in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said some other things that he went through and how he handled it. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side. Well, that's adversity. But yet we are not distressed. He's not going to allow himself to be discouraged. We are perplexed. Sometimes it looks like you are in confusion. But we are not going to give up. But we are not in despair. We'll never give up. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. When we are cast down, we get up again. Hallelujah. These are the ways that we endure adversity. Another way is to know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. David knew it. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6. We, you know, talked about this a couple days or so ago. In the story of Ziklag, David encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do it? Well, you can read it in Psalm 42. He said, you know, he talked to his own soul. Because look, this soul, I guarantee you, has all kinds of emotions. The soul is where you have all the emotions. Sadness and joy, you know, the feeling of goodness, the feeling of loss, anger, bitterness, or whatever. It's all in the soul. You know, but the psalmist, he knew how to put that soul in its place. You know, he said, look, my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Why that cows down? Psalm 42 and verse 5. And what was his response when his soul is cast down? What is his response when he's troubled within his soul? Well, here's his response. Hope thou in God. He talks to his own soul. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He came against that spirit of depression by praising the Lord. Praise was his answer in the situation of downcastedness. So why are you cast down? His soul was actually cast down. It's not that his soul wasn't cast down. His soul was already cast down. You know, his soul was cast down. But he said, look, I'm going to come against this thing, this situation with praise. He prays. So I'm going to get me out of here. You know, he knew how to do it too. You know, and of course he knew how to cry out to the Lord. But praise was a powerful weapon that he knew how to use to get out of, you know, difficulties that could have drowned him. And, you know, he said it multiple times in that chapter, and even the next chapter, verse 11, he said the same thing. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? You know, hope thou in God. He spoke to his own soul, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And he was always encouraging himself like that. Go to chapter 43 of Psalms. He said the same thing again in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance, you know, and my God. You know, he said this thing multiple times. He was always encouraging himself. He said it to himself multiple times. Keep on encouraging yourself. Say it to yourself. Remind yourself that you've got weapons, you know, in your toolbox. You've got the praises of the Lord. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Psalm 149. And a sharp two-edged sword in their hand. You have the high praises of God that you can use to break that depression. You know, but you got to be strong in the Lord. You know, this man called Habakkuk, he went through some stuff. It was like he lost everything. You're talking about being bankrupt. This man lost everything. Let's see all the things he lost. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, his fig tree has stopped blossoming. Fruit on the vines, his vines have stopped producing fruit. The labor of the olive has failed. The olive has dried away. The fields are yielding no meat. Everything is, you know, just wiped out. It's like, you know, you set fire to the thing and burn the thing out. The flock has been cut off. You know, he's lost his flock. He's lost everything. There is no herd left in the, you know, in the stalls. What was his response? Well, powerful response, ladies and gentlemen. You know, people go through this stuff. You lose certain things and so on and so forth. And what do you do? What's your response? That's what we mean by enduring adversity. This man's response with, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. That's his response. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I'm not going to let the devil get the better of me and laugh at me and so forth. I'm not going to give the devil the satisfaction. I will rejoice in the Lord my God, for the Lord God is my strength. Hallelujah. And he will make, look, strength, you have to dig down and get that strength. And this man said, the Lord is my strength. I need strength right now, because you can't be weak in the face of these adversities. If you are weak, you are finished. You know, because the devil, you know, just knock you down, stomp all over you. So you need strength. Even when you are weak, Lord said, when you are weak, then your strength in me is strong. You know, hallelujah. Paul said it himself. When I am weak, I am strong, because his strength is made perfect even in my weakness. At the time that you are weak, this man was weak, Habakkuk, because he lost everything. But he said, look, I am going to rejoice. Rejoicing is an intentional act that you are going to do. I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to praise the Lord, because he is going to be my strength. He's going to make my feet like hinds feet. And he's going to make me to walk upon my high places. You know, devil thought he brought me down, but the Lord's going to bring me up. He began to put his testimony out there. The Lord will make me, he doesn't have it yet, but he's saying it. He will make my feet like hinds feet. His hind feet are not quite like it yet. His feet are not quite like hinds feet. That means quick stuff. You know, he's still sluggish. You know, he's still trying to recover, but he's declaring it even ahead of it. I'm going to recover. I'm going to come back. You know, the Lord's going to make my feet like hinds feet. He's going to put me on my high places and so forth. You know, I'm not going to be narrowly looked upon. I'm going to be above. I'm not going to be. He's declaring this thing for himself. the word of your testimony, according to Revelation 12 and 11. You overcome the devil with it too. You begin to declare it, to give yourself strength. Praise the Lord. You know, and remember, when you are weak, remember to lean upon the Lord for your strength. You know, because sometimes in this flesh, we do get weak. You know, and when we get weak, that's the time for you to draw upon the strength of the Lord. Let's look at Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at his testimony. Let's see how he said it. There was something that Paul was dealing with that he was praying. And people have conjecture of what it might be. But I'm going to go into that right now. But whatever it was, he said, I besought the Lord three times for this thing that it might depart from me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. And the Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. Now that's a scripture that all of us should grab onto today. When you are weak, weary, battered down with adversity and so on, you know, how do you draw strength when you are literally weak? You know, you're literally weak. How do you draw strength? We draw strength from the Lord. You know, you draw strength from the Lord. And that's what he said. He said, therefore, I would take pleasure in all these things and so forth. And because for when I am weak, then I am strong in the Lord. And he doesn't count himself as weak. He said, well, I'll be strong in the Lord because the Lord is able to strengthen me. And did not the Lord say that he will strengthen you in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10? Well, he said it, you know. So let's read it. And these are promises for you for endurance, to know that, you know, even when you can't do it yourself, the Lord will strengthen you. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Whenever you are going through or whatever you are going through, do not be dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you through the adversity. And I will help you through the challenges that you are facing. I will uphold you. You know, uphold means you're about to fall down. He gets you up right there. Hallelujah. He won't let you even hit the canvas. Praise God. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. These are promises, point blank, that he gave to us. Well, Isaiah knew it. God gave it to him in Isaiah 41, and he's going to declare it for himself in Isaiah 57. And I gave us this memory verse months ago that this ought to be your declaration of faith. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. Everybody needs to learn this verse and be using it. You know, this ought to be your posture through adversity. That's got to be your posture. It is so appropriate for many things, but especially for adversity. You know, when things come at, you know, at you from different directions. Well, use this verse. Like Isaiah said, he remembered that the Lord had said, I will help you and all these things, I will uphold you. Well, so he remembered that promise. And he's going to use that promise to strengthen himself. And, you know, that's how he said it. For the Lord God will help me. Remember, that's what God said in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. For the Lord God will help me. And because he will help me, I know that I will not be confounded. That's right. Praise the Lord. It is so powerful. I love it. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I'm not going to let the devil even see that I am, you know, struggling or confused or crying or this and that. No, I'm going to put my game face on. I know that I will not be ashamed. This is his testimony, how to deal with adversity. You call upon the strength of the Lord. That's how you do it. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to go over into actually overcoming the thing, because we've talked about, you know, how to avoid it sometimes. We've talked about how to endure it when you're going through. Well, let's talk about how to actually overcome it. You know, put the thing in the ground. Praise the Lord. Well, the overcoming and the enduring, they go hand in hand. You know, you can't overcome if you don't endure. First, you must endure it in order to overcome. It's like when you're running a race. You know, you can't win if you stop, you know, before you get to the finish line. You know, so even Matthew 24 and verse 13 will tell you that. He said, look, in this race of life, as we're waiting for the Lord and all the things that will happen in the end, especially, you know, it's not the person that starts the race that's going to be called the winner if they don't make it through. It is the one that endures to the end. The same shall be saved. Matthew 24 and verse 13. You know, so enduring is so critical. Praise the Lord. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So, you know, but, well, in this case, you might call the salvation the overcoming. Because Jesus said, he that overcometh at the end, he shall sit with me on my throne, and all these promises for the overcomer. But in order for you to get to the point that you can be declared an overcomer, you must endure through the process. So that's why we talk about enduring. The process is what we go through many times. The end is known by God. We don't know the end, but by faith, we can see the end. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit can show you things to come by faith. According to John chapter 16 and 13, the Holy Spirit can show you by faith your victory. But nobody really knows, you know, from one day to another what's going to happen. Only the Lord knows that. But one thing we know is we got to go through to get to the end of the race. When they do these multiple, you know, steeplechase and all these things and long runs that they have this. I love that watching that steeplechase race because sometimes they get to a place, they have to jump over something. Sometimes they wade in the water. Sometimes they run. I mean, it's like, it's not just a sprint, you know. You know, I could never do those long distances. Mine was a sprint, but I always admire those that could, you know, get in there and dig in there and run it, you know, and sometimes you fall, you get up again. If you fall in one of these sprints, it's over, you know. But in the long races, very long races, you can fall and still come back and still win because it's a long, drawn-out race. It's not a sprint. Life is not a sprint, ladies and gentlemen. Sprints, you know, 10 seconds, you know, 20 seconds, you're done. No, not with life. It's a long, drawn-out, drag-out thing. You know, sometimes the devil knock you down. Sometimes you knock the devil. I mean, you're going on and on. It's a long thing. You got to keep fighting. You know, but if you endure to the end, you might be actually win the thing. But if you give up along the way, then you've already lost. You know, one time I was... I think we were about to cross into, I don't know if it was 2020 or 2022 or something. And I was preaching the crossover service at the church. And I said a number of things that people had to, you know, do, you know. I think it was the time when we preached the Emerge series for the first time or something like that. And I said, look, when the ball is in your hand, and I was using basketball as the analogy. I love basketball. And the clock is winding down, shot clock is winding down, game clock is also winding down. And you got the ball in your hand. You got a couple of choices. You know, you can either take the shot or not. Now, you know, you are in that situation. Now, some of the veterans that are skilled, they live for those moments. They want the ball in those moments because they live for it. Give me the ball. Clear everybody out. Give me the ball. I'm going to go one-on-one. I'm going to take the last shot. They want the ball. Others, they pass the ball because they don't want to deal with it. You know, but when the ball is in your hand, You can either be the villain that will lose the game, or you can be the hero. But I said, look, if you don't take the shot, you already missed the shot. So every shot you don't take is a shot that you already missed. That's a punchline for you today. You know, you already gave up. Say, well, what if I don't make it? Then the whole stadium, you know, gonna be an outcry against me. But that means you already gave up. You already quit. And when you quit, you already lost. Why don't you say, what if I make it? Then I'll be the hero. You know, so every shot you don't take is a shot you already missed. Because you don't know the outcome until you actually put up the shot. But if you don't take it because you are afraid, then you already missed the shot. You know, so, you know, you must take the shot. Praise God. And also, you know, remember, the Lord is with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't quit. The Lord will never quit on you. Don't quit on yourself either. Praise the Lord. You know, get through to the end and win. But also, you know, when you're running the race, you know, and you're trying to win, well, you know, you got to also run the race according to the rules. You know, it's called in the scriptures, we call it striving lawfully. It's in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. He said, if a man also strive for masteries, that's an athlete, a competitor, he's trying to win. Well, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. What does that mean? Well, you know, it means you got to do it according to the rules of the contest. You can't just do it anyhow. In track and field, there are some races that you must stay in your lane. Or if it's a relay, there is a, you know, a range in the track in which the baton must be passed. There are some long races also that, you know, you must stay in your lane the first lap and then they allow you to cross over and so on and so forth. But whatever the rules are, you must follow the rules. If you get to the finish line first or among the first, yet you know, crossed over into someone's lane in a race where you must stay in your lane, then you'll be disqualified. And I've seen that. I've seen it when I watched track and field. You know, I saw it, you know, in one race, in one Olympics, one U.S. Athlete was rejoicing. It was a 200-meter race. He was rejoicing because I think he was, you know, came in third or something. And he thought he had a medal. He took the flag. He took the flag, you know how to take the flag and done the victory lap all over the place, you know. But unfortunately for him, the tape showed that he actually stepped on the inside lane, you know, the lane mark there. You can't do it. And he was disqualified after he already took the victory lap. So you must run according to the rules. God has the rules. The rules are in this Bible. Hallelujah. The rules of engagement. And this word of God. You must do it according to, you can't do it according to your own strength. It's not going to work. You can't make your own rules that can go along the way. It's not going to work either. You know, Lamentation 3 and 37 say, who is he that saith, and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? What the Lord commanded are the rules. You use his commandments to win this battle. Otherwise, you won't win anything. You know, so now, overcoming adversity. Job chapter 1 and verse 21. There is no way you can talk on the subject of adversity without bringing in the story of Job. It was the perfect one story that we saw in the Bible about adversity. So many things came upon him. And Job said, well, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. And he was resolved in his mind to not say anything against the Lord. Even his wife and everybody, you know, chiding him and so on. His wife was even saying, look, this is too much. Why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, he sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I mean, that was his own way of overcoming. He determined in his heart how I was going to deal with this thing. He said, look, well, maybe the Lord took, maybe the Lord gave, maybe the Lord took. Well, so what? I'm going to praise the Lord anyway, you know. And in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, here's what he said. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I will maintain my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation at the end. And so this man said, look, I don't care what comes against me, whether it's from the devil or even from the Lord or from everywhere. You know, I will trust him. And that's how he got the victory. Trust the Lord unconditionally. You know, this is when I'm dealing on how you overcome adversity. Trust him unconditionally. You know, that's what Job is saying here in Job 13 and 15. Unconditionally, even if he's slaying me, I'm going to yet trust him. Remember and claim his promises that all things will work for you for your good. So let me explain that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. This is how you overcome. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, and we know. Well, do you know? Well, this is Paul's testimony. I always say it. When Paul says some things, you know, and people just quote it, well, make sure that it is your testimony also. Paul said, look, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his eternal purpose. So let me break that down. You know, let's unpack that scripture so that we can see what it means. All things work together for good. Now, this scripture doesn't say we know that everything will work out for your good. It didn't say any such thing. It's not everything that he said. But there are some things that are not good. There are some things that are not, will not turn out good. You know, so it didn't say every single thing. You know, look, when you lose your job, that's not a good thing. You know, and so on and so forth. I mean, but when you put it all together, take everything, not just one thing. You got to take everything. See, some things may not work out well, but when you put it all together, all things will eventually work out for your good. Hallelujah. So remember that. There may be a situation that you are going through right now that is, doesn't look good. It doesn't look like it's going to be good, and it's not good. And Paul here is not talking about good things. If he was talking about good things, he wouldn't be saying they are working out for good. Good things are already good. So he's not talking about that. He's talking about bad things. Bad things that happen to us, you know. Because if they are good, they are already good. You know, bad or good, when taken together, some bad, mix it in with some good, when they're taken together, they will eventually come out for your good. Hallelujah. And here's other ways. There's some tools that you can use to overcome the devil. This scripture in Revelation 12:11 give us some tools. He said they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. That's number one. Number two, by the word of their testimony. I have talked on this so many times, how you give your testimony ahead of the battle. I mean, or, you know, while even you are in the battle, ahead of the victory, so to speak, ahead of the victory, you know. And then they love not their lives unto death. Three tools that are given here. You know, they love not your life unto death is a powerful tool. Many people don't quote that when they quote that scripture. You know, it's a powerful tool. loving your life from today. Says, I don't care what the devil's going to do. I'm not even afraid of death. Hallelujah. You know, when you are that sold out, then, you know, the devil can't win against you. I mean, some of the greatest powers that the devil has is, you know, the scripture calls it the fear of death. That's some of his greatest powers, you know. And it is described in verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 2. It says, for as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ also likewise himself took part of the same, that through his death he might destroy him that had the power of the death, that is the devil, put it out right there, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the fear of death is one of the greatest tools that the devil used to put people into bondage. You know, but if you are not afraid of death, like Revelation 12:11 says it, you're not afraid of it. You know, then you already defeated that power of the devil. And you have the blood of Jesus. See, the blood of Jesus is what cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness, the devil is the tool of unrighteousness. So if you know how to use the blood, you know, against him, you have the power. If you know how to use the word of your testimony, you have the power. And you get rid of the fear of death, you got the power. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Let's look at some other tools. How do you get the victory over the things that you are facing? Well, this scripture lays it out point blank. And, you know, that's why I'm always talking about faith. Because you've got to have faith. For whosoever or whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. We're talking about overcoming here. How do you overcome? Well, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, what kind of faith do you have? If we have a faith barometer in here, you know, how will your faith measure on a scale of 1 to 10? Are you at even minus? Minus faith is when you have been discouraged. You have folded in, you've given up, and you are in a state of, you know, just despair. That's minus faith. But what is your faith? I mean, take inventory. I would say examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Well, I say examine your faith barometer and see how, where you are. Are you at 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10? Where is your faith at? Praise God. You know, so because faith is what you're going to use to overcome all these things. In fact, if you read that lesson in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 8, when you get to the point of where he's talking about faith, he says, and above all, you know, you can do all, you can put on all these pieces of your armor, but he says, above all, that means that's the greatest one you can have. Above all, you take on the shield of faith, you know, by which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. So above anything else, faith is number one. You got to have that faith. You take that shield. He throws anything at you, you bounce it back, you close it out, and so forth. You got to have that faith, boy. You got to have that faith. Don't lose, you know, and we're always trying to make, to try to help people not to lose their faith. When people lose their faith, you know, it's over. You know, so don't lose your faith. Hold on to God. Trust the Lord no matter what. Here's another tool that the Lord gives us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, look, we covered this yesterday. Be sober. Be vigilant. You know, and watch, you know, because you need the discernment of the Holy Spirit to be vigilant. Because sometimes our physical eyes can't see some things. You got to be vigilant. Prudent man foreseeth the evil. You got to be vigilant. And the devil is going around trying to devour people. You got to be vigilant. So vigilance vigilance in the spirit will give you the victory. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 talks about the same thing. We read it yesterday when Paul was saying, look, we're not ignorant. Well, ignorance will make us lose many things. In fact, even in military warfare, they have to engage, you know, in intelligence. You've got to try to learn, you know, where your enemy is at. You've got to try to learn some things about them and so on and so forth. You use that to your advantage. You know, so they have even the intelligence group, you know, that figure things out, and they base their strategy on the intelligence that they have gathered. And if you want to do a surgical strike, you know, you got to have intelligence. You can't just do things anyhow. You know, so, you know, you got to be vigilant. You got to know these things. And, you know, you cannot let Satan take advantage of you. You got to know his devices. Well, you study your enemy. Even in sports, like this basketball that I told you I love, you know, they study tapes of previous games, see how they, you know, see how their, you know, opponent did, you know, how they try to study their playbook and how they do things. And if you ever get a hold of your, of your opponent's playbook, well, you got an advantage over them. That's illegal, but if you do, you know, then you got an advantage. So, but you study. How they are doing. And don't be ignorant of his devices. You know, and this one is very critical. Don't blame God. You heard me. Don't blame God. People are always blaming God for one thing or the other. You know, in the book of Job chapter 4 and verse 17, I'm back to the story of Job, you know, because like I said, you can't talk about these things without Job. Job chapter 4 verse 17 says, look, don't blame God. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? You know, don't blame God, you know, for whatever. Because you don't know what's going on. And people love to blame God for their troubles sometimes. Don't blame God. You know, sometimes actually even the Holy Spirit would have given you an inkling, but you didn't pay attention, you know. And then you got into trouble. Don't blame God for it. Now, like I said yesterday already, that's not always the reason people get into trouble. You know, but sometimes it is. Now, the disciples try to blame Jesus for their problems. The story in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, the adversity that they were facing, storm that rushed into the wind, into the boat, trying to capsize the boat and everything. They blame Jesus for it. So they went and said, Master, don't you care? And that's blaming him, that we are about to perish. I mean, people are always trying to blame the Lord. You know, the Lord is not to blame because the Lord already knew that they could handle that situation. That's why he just went to sleep. You already know he can handle. It's like when we go on a flight, you know, sometimes, I mean, people put their lives in the hand of the pilot and the co-pilot. I mean, they're just there. Sometimes you sleep through this long flight in the night and so forth. You don't know what they're doing up there in the cabin, you know, but you just sleep and so on. So Jesus just went and slept because he knew they could handle the situation. And he also knew that, well, storm is just a storm. It'll come and pass, you know, don't worry about it, you know, but these people panicked. Like I said the other day, they were not prayed through. Or prayed up. So they panicked and they blamed Christ for the problem that they are going through. Don't you care? Why do you allow this thing to happen to me? Because the Lord already knew you could handle it. You know, and they blamed the Lord. They blamed the Lord for everything. Well, let me unpack this scripture in Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. You know, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, what's the next thing he says after that? You know, it's like, you know, what's the next thing you say after you pray? Well, you say amen. Well, what's the next thing you say after something like make your request to God? Well, you would have thought that the next thing to say is that, and the Lord will grant all your requests. But that's not what he said in this particular scripture. Yeah, there are places where the Lord said that himself, you know, ask and you shall be given and all these things. But in this particular scripture, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, he's not talking about you pray, you will get all your answers. He didn't say any such thing. What he said was that the Lord will give you peace through the storm. You know, peace through the storm. Give you, you know, you have confidence that the Lord is with you. The peace of God. That's what he said after making your prayer. He didn't say that God will answer all the prayers. Well, we always want God to answer our prayers. That would have been nice if that's what verse 7 of Philippians 4 says. But that's not what he said. What he said was that, and the peace of God passes all understanding. Now keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And one day, maybe when we get into the Transform series, I will explain to you how this verse can mean something else. Something that the Lord showed me can mean. I'll tell it to you here briefly. Someday I may go into details. You know, there are some things that God wants us to take care of. And he knows you can take care of it. Like Adam, he said, look, take care of it. Whatever you say, take care of the garden. Whatever you say goes. And he even came to Adam and asked him a question. It's almost like looking for advice. Hey, Adam, what are we going to call this thing? You know, and whatever Adam said, Lord said, cool. You know, now, you know, all the time, Father, give me this, Father, give me this, Father, give me this, Father, give me this. You know, there are some things that God wants you to handle. You can handle some things, you know, and it comes from the peace of God. And God wants you to develop into such a place that you take care of it. You know, it's not everything, it's not every little thing that God has to take care of. You can take care of some things yourself. That's why it says in Isaiah 52:2, you know, loose yourself from the bands around your neck. Shake yourself from the dust. There's some things you can take care of yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, you're doing it in your power without Christ. No, you are integrated with Christ. We have the mind of Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. That's another scripture for, you know, overcoming. You know, it's not exactly, you know, Christ can do everything through me, but I can do everything through Christ. You know, so you got to have confidence in yourself because the Lord is in you. You can do it. Hallelujah. I can handle, I got this. You know, and that's what Adam would tell the Lord. When the Lord said, look, he said, look, I got this. And the Lord said, yeah, you got this. In fact, the Lord said that first before Adam even said it. When the Lord put Adam on the scene, he said, look, the man is here. He got this. Now I can rest. I can relax. You know, and the man, God relaxed. He said, this man, he's here now. He got this. You know, so there are some situations that God believed that you got. Just like Jesus, he believed that the apostles got the storm. They got it. So he went to sleep. But they disappointed him woefully. That's why when he woke up, he not only rebuked the storm, but he also rebuked the apostles. Now, let me read you some promises for overcomers. I'm talking about overcoming today. Promises for overcomers. We've dealt on this before, but since we are on the subject, you know, let me also read it to you. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 to 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice that though now for a season, see, if need be, that sometimes for a season, I mean, you know, whatever the reason may be, you are in heaviness through manifold distresses and manifold adversities. You are in heaviness. Heaviness will come upon you because of all these things that are happening around you. Well, the reason is this. He said that the trial of your faith. Remember, it's all about faith. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor of and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So now, you know, you must, you know, go through, you know, we read it yesterday, how we must, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom. You may be heavy at the moment, but the Lord's going to give you the victory. In the book of Revelation, when John was told to write to the seven churches in Asia Minor at the time, there are many promises that are given, you know, and let's look at all those promises real quickly. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Right out of the box, it's talking about the tree of life, which Adam lost, which is in the midst of the garden of God. Verse 11, you know, of the same chapter. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 17 of the same chapter. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written. No man knoweth it saving he that receiveth it. Well, all these things are, you know, for later, but some of it, if you have faith, you can tap into it right now. It's like the Syrophoenician woman. Jesus said, well, it's not time for the Gentiles. I only come right now for the Jews. This woman pierced the veil of time. Well, if you have faith, you can pierce this veil. Hallelujah. Verse 26, you can get these things. And you can actually pull these things out for yourself right now. He that overcometh. Now, these promises are for you. You overcome and keep my works to the end. In other words, you overcome through the trial. Don't give up along the way. I'll give you power over the nations. You shall rule them with a rod of iron. So, you know, these are blessings that are coming for us when the Lord will come. There's so many things that you will have. Power over the nations. But you got to overcome. And if you cannot overcome the little things, are you going to overcome the big things? Revelation chapter 3, you know, and verse 5. And he said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father. Well, every time you overcome temptation, every time you overcome, you know, the tricks of the devil for you to deny the Christ, you know, the Lord said, well, if you confess me, I will confess you. Every time you do that, he'll confess your name also. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. I'm just trying to go through this very quickly so I can close up here. He that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, and so on. You know, and I will write upon him my new name as well. Glory to God. You know, and my all-time favorite, Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Praise God. This is how you capstone everything. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, and I'm set with my Father in his own throne. And last but not the least, Revelation 21 and verse 7. These are promises for the overcomers. And you must use even the daily adversities to gain strength for even bigger adversities. Revelation chapter 27 and verse 1. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. That's it. As a final analysis. And I will be his God. And he shall be my son. But to the fearful, those who gave up along the way, you know, those who fold in and unbelieving and abominable and so forth, well, they're not going to make it. But that's not your portion. Let us overcome in the name of the Lord. Well, it's been a long lesson already. I'm going to pray over the room right now and turn it over for discussion. So let's pray. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have given us insight into how we can prevent adversity through prayer, how we can endure it when it does actually come, and through endurance, we can actually come out to be a winner and overcome it. Now, may the Lord inspire these words in the hearts of your children. Give us understanding and enable us to do the same, to go forth and be more than conquerors. Jesus said in John 16 and 33, while you are in the world, you will have tribulation and adversity and all these things come upon you. You know, you can't help it, but it must come. But be of good cheer, he said. I have overcome these things on your behalf, and you also will overcome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We overcome by our faith. Help each of us to develop spiritual resiliency, develop our faith that we may overcome. Now, I come against the spirit of adversity that tried to take advantage of the people of God. I pray in the name of Jesus, the powers, the arrows of darkness be broken in flight. Hallelujah. They be broken in flight or dead on arrival as they hit the shield of faith in the name of Jesus. As you hold up the shield of faith, the arrows, satanic, that sprung out from satanic altars will be broken and dead on arrival. Or they will even be broken in flight before they even get to you in the name of Jesus. I pray that you are on solid foundation. He that is anchored, you are anchored on the Lord. Those that trust in the Lord. Psalm 125 says, it shall be as mountain Zion, Mount Zion that cannot be moved. And not be moved by anything, no matter what the devil tries. I will not be moved by these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Neither will any of these things move me. The devil tried to do all kinds of things to Paul, but Paul said, no, none of these things move me. I'm willing to even go up and die, no matter what the devil tries. Hallelujah. So, you know, they that trust in the Lord, Psalm 125 verse 1, shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abide forever. They shall stand while others are falling. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord give you the grace to stand. Stand fast in the liberty of God. And win every battle. Climb every mountain. Have the victory over the devil through your faith. Develop spiritual capacity and resilience through prayer. And go forward in the name of the Lord Jesus. Run the race. Run your race tactfully. Run it also according to the rules. And remember, don't give in and don't give up. And if should you hit the canvas, don't stay down. Get up. Hallelujah. The Lord will give you the victory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.